Paper 10. I thought yesterday was your last appearance.
Well, it's still my last meeting, but...
It's still your last meeting, so we still have to be nice to everybody.
We didn't really have to be nice yesterday, but we were.
Oh, well, we were anyway, yes, we're just basically nice people. Take it away.
Thank you, good morning. The committee received a request to clarify what factors may indicate that the fund manager has a significant influence over a fund it manages and has a direct holding in. The submitter described a particular situation in which an assessment of control under IFRS 10 resulted in the conclusion that the fund manager does not control the fund it manages because it is acting as an agent. The submitter raised two questions in respect of this particular situation. First, should the fund manager assess whether it has a significant influence over the fund? And if yes, how should it make that assessment? The staff conclusions are presented in paragraph 37 of the paper. We think that a fund manager should make a separate assessment of significant influence over the fund that it manages and has direct holding in under IS 28. We also think that the committee should not take on its agenda a specific question of whether the fund manager should assess under IS 28 whether it participates in policy decisions on behalf of others. This is because we think that the issue would be better considered as a part of the ISB research project on the equity method of accounting. We have the following questions to you. Do you agree with the staff recommendation that the issue should not be added to your agenda? And do you agree with the staff conclusions in paragraph 37 and the proposed wording for the tentative agenda decision in Appendix A to this paper? Thank you.
I'm going to ask you a question. The staff recommendation is that it belongs to the project on the equity method. And I'm going to ask Alan about the scope of that project, or whether the scope is yet defined. If the scope applies only to the mechanics of how you do the debits and credits of the equity method, then it seems to me this issue does not belong in the scope. If the scope is broader, then perhaps it does. Alan?
As part of the research side, we are examining the definition of significant influence, and the fact is, when we developed IFRS 10, we actually had an opportunity to go back and sort of do a more of a, I guess, a principle-based approach of what significant influence means and actually tie the two in together, but the board wanted to get consolidation out, so they decided not to take it on, and it would have been nice to do it at the same time. So I can't say that we have decided to plough ahead to look at making changes there, but that's part of our investigation. We're going to ask the question whether we should actually make changes to the way we define significant influence and those factors, as well as looking at the mechanics. So it is in the scope of the research phase anyway.
All right, given that, comments, Laurence?
I was seeing a contradiction in the agenda decision. Well, I support an agenda decision not to take it on, but I was in the drafting, I was seeing contradiction in between what is said in the second paragraph. The interpretation committee noted that the fact that decision-making rights of a fund manager, blah, 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 does not necessarily preclude significant influence in accordance with IS 28. And the second paragraph below that says the interpretation committee noted that IS 28 does not address the issue. I mean, if IS 28 does not address the issue, why are you stating what you are stating in that second paragraph?
Our idea is just that we think that a fund manager would need to make a separate assessment under IS 28, and the fact that it previously concluded that it does not control the fund does not mean that the fund manager should not go to IS 28 and make an assessment of significant influence.
Yeah, but for me, the more fundamental question is that if you are an agent, mm-hmm. can you ever have significant influence?
I think that IS-28 does not explicitly.
Yeah, but so, but by what you're writing here, you bias the answer to say that indeed agents can also have significant influence. Here, that's how I read it. whereas that question about a fund manager, can they have ever significant influence? You know, is something that we have not debated, and that you know. So this is why I agree with the penultimate paragraph, but I'm not sure that I see the point of adding that second paragraph. Because I mean, if you were to own, we're talking about those fund managers that have less than 20% interest, carried interest for sure. Okay, because otherwise we likely have concluded that with the powers they have more than 20%, likely to have control. Okay, so we're talking about the ones that have less than 20%. In IS-28, I mean, before you demonstrate you have significant influence, even with 20%, you need many elements. Okay, so if you have 1%, and but you are a fund manager and so on. Do you take that into account to say you have significant influence? So this is why I would prefer to stay silent, and I agree that IS-28 has not addressed that situation, those cases, and so on. Yeah. That I agree completely. And so that because we have not discussed that issue, just stay silent.
But Laurence. Sure. Laurence, would you agree, though, that having reached the decision under IFRS 10 that you don't control doesn't lead you to ignore IAS 28?
Correct. You still have to perform an IAS 28 exercise. Okay.
Right.
But that's it.
Okay, and that was an important point which we thought should be made.
Sue, board member privilege.
I was just going to try and help Irina. In Irina's defence, I think that all you were trying to say is IFRS 10 doesn't really colour the analysis that you do in IAS 28. That's all you're trying to say, yes? Which I don't think you disagree with.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you're in raging agreement in Irina's defence. This paper for me just highlighted the fact of the disconnect between IFRS 10 and IAS 28. So for me as a board member, it's sort of, when I'm talking about scope, when the paper comes to us, I don't know when that is. It's good to have seen this because it's going to highlight to me the fact that this very much seems to focus on one piece of the three parts that you need to look at for control, and IFRS 10 tells you to look at three things. IAS 28 seems to just focus on power, and do we really just mean that? So I think it's a good fact for us to be aware of when we think about what scope do we need for the project on equity accounting.
Okay, let's go down the line. Alan, did you want to jump in, or do you want to wait a turn?
Can I jump in? Because it's kind of related. Because it's important to get this wording right, because I could flip this around a little bit. And if you have a look at paragraph 13 in the paper, and it presents paragraph 5 out of IAS 28, the words in the end of the first sentence saying, you know, you've got more than 20%, unless it can be clearly demonstrated that this is not the case. I think there's an argument for saying that if you've gone to 10, and determine that you clearly are holding as an agent, then you could actually argue that you've clearly demonstrated that you don't hold the power, that the power's not influenced, because they're clearly as an agent perspective. And Sue's right, it's the lack of direct connection is the problem, but I think you can argue there's an implicit connection there as well. So I'm a bit, you've got to get the wording right, saying don't ignore 10. It doesn't mean that because you haven't got control under 10 that you simply, that's the end of the story. I think 10 can actually help you out here, because if you clearly are an agent, I'm not sure how you can actually exercise influence if you're not doing it for your own benefit, for example. So I'm a little bit concerned about the wording.
Do you have a suggestion?
I'd take out the wording.
You'd take out the whole paragraph.
That paragraph, yeah.
Okay, well, hold that suggestion. Let's just go down the line. Reinhardt?
I'll add to the raging agreement. I agree
on an overall level with the staff decision, but I also had trouble with that particular paragraph. And I think a point that struck me that didn't necessarily come out in the paper is that is relevant is along the lines of what you said, Alan, that IS 28 was not amended consistent, you know, when IFRS 10 came out, but also that the relevant activities under IFRS 10 may not be the same as the significant financial operating policies. And so the combination of the two, I think, would suggest just because you don't consolidate under IFRS 10 because you're an agent doesn't mean that you would ignore IS 28 and may come to a conclusion about significant influence. So, as I say, I think I would remove that, and perhaps it may be worthwhile at least pointing to that disconnect, if you will, between IFRS 10 relevant activities and IS 28 significant financial accounting policies or operating policies.
Okay, Charlotte?
I actually wanted to agree with the staff analysis. I think I'd assumed before I read this that in some way they were consistent, IS 28 and IFRS 10. I was sort of surprised when I reread it and thought, actually, you're not excluded. The fact you've got the decision rights, it doesn't matter why you've got them or on whose behalf you're exercising. So it did seem a flaw with IS 28 that ought to be amended. I would say that I would imagine in a lot of circumstances, the facts and circumstances that make you an agent may actually take you out of IS 28 anyway, particularly if the other parties have the ability to remove you. And maybe you could look at that in the context of them having potential voting rights to take you out of the structure and sort of avoid IS 28 that way.
John?
I mean, I think the key issue, the key question is in para 22. It's whether the fund manager should include in the significant influence assessment its participation in the financial and operating policy decisions that it undertakes on behalf of and for the benefit of others. I mean, Alan has explained that he thinks it doesn't, but I don't think that's clear in IAS 28. So it seems to me that if we leave that question unanswered, we're leaving that tension there. I mean, I think it's quite clear. I mean, to me, it seems quite clear that if you are an agent under IFRS 10, you still have to go and look at IAS 28 as a separate standard to assess whether you have significant influence. The real question is that in your own right, or can you have significant influence because you're making decisions as an agent for the principal under 10? And it seems to me we ought to try to provide some clarity on that, whether it's a suggestion of an amendment. I know kicking this into the research project seems to me to leave this issue hanging out there for a long, long time, and I think it's one that could be resolved. So I don't support the recommendation not to take it on.
You don't support not?
I don't support the recommendation, which is not to take it on the agenda.
So
I would actually take it on and try and add a clarification to IAS 28 to deal with whether the powers that you have as agent, which you exercise as agent in IFRS 10, are relevant to significant influence assessment under IAS 28, because I think it's a fairly narrow issue.
Okay. Bruce?
I'm glad to hear John's comment, because I thought I was going to be the only one. I don't agree. I'm pretty much exactly in that camp. I work a lot with fund managers. This is a big issue for them at the moment in determining what they want. And I guess my concern at the moment is that there is a need for guidance. Now, I guess the only thing I'm worried about is this is kicking into the project Alan's doing, and my concern is the timing, exactly as yours is. This is not going to happen in the next 6 months. This is going to be a big challenge in the longer term, and I guess we are leaving something out there that I think could be resolved. The other comment I had was that if you look at the wording is worded. The paragraph then that says, in particular, you should consider the holding in the fund and whether you're right to participate combined with your holding. That concerns me, because I think we're suddenly saying, well, we don't want to make a comment, but by the way, we're kind of making a comment what you should consider. One of the major hassles is going to be for them, much like we had with the fund managers under IFRS 10, is, well, what percentage holding is a challenge? Where's that percentage holding? What are the thresholds? And I'm just concerned that by putting that in, we're going to start asking all that. We're raising those questions again. And I think we're saying consider it, but don't. I don't know. I'm just not convinced that... I'm just concerned that we've got the issue. I think that it does need to be resolved, and I think that if we leave it to the project, I think it's also going to be kicked out. And it's kind of a long kick for touch at the moment on that.
Can I just comment on timing? Because I hear this a lot. It does push my buttons, because something on the research program does not mean kick for touch. We're trying to get, the idea is that we're investing more heavily up front, and the idea is to get something out quickly on this thing, on equity method generally. So I would expect to see a discussion paper, and it would have to be a DP, but the discussion paper would spell out what the requirements would be sometime next year, which means you go very quickly to an EDN final. And so the question is, how quickly can we do that relative compared to this? So this is not a 5 or 10 year project. We're talking about something in the short term for us. But I've just, every time people hear research, they kind of think, oh, we're not going to do something.
It's some of the experience in some of the projects I think we see.
And it's incumbent upon us to give you a project plan to show you what that's like, so you've got a bit of a sense for that.
Well, can I just caveat that then? I guess what I'm going to say is, if John and myself end up in the minority, and not that we've gone there yet, and we decide not to take it on, can I then say that, to me, this is one of those issues we need to park then to see where the outcome of that project is. I don't think we can just turn around and say, we've taken it, given it to Alan, and they must run with it. Because if that project doesn't end up addressing this, I think we are going to have to come back and have a look.
Point taken. Tony?
I'm in the same place as John and Bruce. I think there is currently diversity in practice. I don't think, looking at IS28, that it precludes taking into account the interest that you hold or the rights that you have on behalf of others, and I think in the absence of that there is diversity, and so I will be inclined to take it on. It seems to me to be a fairly narrow issue, and I'm not sure why we couldn't address it.
Andrew?
Yeah, on balance I'd support the staff recommendation to issue the agenda decision. I think it would stand up perfectly well without the offending paragraph to some in the middle, but I do feel that the research project is the more appropriate place to consider adding more guidance to the definition of significant influence. I don't think it's going to be as simple, if we try to take it on, as saying if we include or exclude any rights that have been determined to be exercised in a capacity as agent, because that's not actually... In the end, you've got to decide whether you cross the control line or not. But actually, in reality, in these situations, that an entity is acting partially on behalf of others and partially on its own behalf. And to say, therefore, it's purely an agent, and we can totally ignore the rights that have been assessed as part of the principal agent analysis, that doesn't seem like a very credible outcome without trying to prejudge the outcome of a project we haven't yet agreed to take on. As Charles, I think, said, it's a lot's going to depend on actually the particular reasons why you didn't quite get across the line to being a principal. If it's to do with not having quite enough exposure to a variable return, well, that could be entirely consistent with significant influence. If it's not having enough breadth of decision-making capacity, that might be less consistent with significant influence. So I don't think it's going to be a simple thing. Therefore, the research project feels to me like the more appropriate vehicle.
Bonnie?
So I also agree with what the staff was recommending in paragraph 37 A and B. I think I'm with some others that I think the existing guidance is not sufficient. I look to what was written in paragraph 38. I don't think that's necessarily true. I guess I'm a little bit torn between making some sort of narrow amendment versus letting the broader project address the issues. What I wouldn't want to happen is that we address a narrow scope amendment that then conflicts with something that's part of the research project that, because it's a bit broader scope, would address the larger issues. So I tend to, if the timing is as Alan mentioned, perhaps within next year, I'm not sure that we, given the timing of where we are in the year, would be able to do anything before early next year anyway.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Fei Long?
I agree with that approach. Let's say you have to make assessment rather than assuming you don't have significant influence. I generally agree with the agenda paper. And I believe that the fund manager, regardless of being an agent on the IFRS 10, should apply IAS 28 to determine whether it has the ability to exercise significant influence. But IS-28 does not have the concept of significant influence held for own benefits or for the benefits of others. So I believe that the fund manager should include in the significant influence assessment all factors. The ISB specifically did not revise IS-28 when they issued IFRS 10. So if conclusion reached by the committee view A, I will believe that the matter should be addressed as a project on IS-28 and not as a standalone IFRI project. So I think I will accept staff recommendation.
Okay, Sandy?
I agree with the staff recommendation.
Okay, how about on that second paragraph?
Which second paragraph?
And the agenda decision. Several people have suggested removing that paragraph. Okay, let me come back to you on that one. Martin?
Yeah, come back.
Okay, Sandy, go ahead. Go ahead, please, Sandy.
I thought you were going on to Martin, sorry.
Martin?
Okay. So I agree with the technical assessment. I see the need for a broader research project than probably this is or maybe fixed within the project on equity accounting. However, what we currently have then is a kind of accounting policy choice, so to say. And what I miss in the wording of the tentative agenda decision is, at least a hint, please disclose what you have done. Second thing is have a uniform application over time and for all investments. So you have not a choice investment by investment, but if more or less you have the same fact pattern, you have to apply the same accounting policy. Probably a hint like this might be useful.
Okay, that's a new proposal. Sandy, you want to come back?
I guess I don't think we need to remove that paragraph, but
you don't believe we need to include or exclude?
Exclude,
okay. Okay, that leads me then to the questions. And the first question is the second paragraph, so Sandy has indicated she would keep it. How many would favor removing the second paragraph, taking it out? Okay, that's fewer than I thought it were going to be. Martin, do you want to leave it or take it?
Leave it.
Leave it. Fei Long?
I favor taking it out.
You favor taking it out. That's only three in favor of taking it out, so it stays in the decision if we go ahead with the decision. Recognizing Alan's reservations about the wording, I'd like to ask Alan to sit down with the staff and offer any suggestions, and you'll see the output of that when you see update if we go ahead. That leads us to the question of which branch we take. Plan A is the staff recommendation. I think modified by Bruce's
suggestion that even if it goes to the research project, if we see in the scope of the research project that somehow this is not included, and I think in fairness to Alan and the team, that's a decision that's yet to be made, and they may decide that they want to have a project that does not include this. So with Bruce's observation that we need to watch it, and if it somehow falls out or doesn't get in,
or actually it could be accelerated. The other thing that happens with the research projects is that we might say have three threads, like the mechanics of equity method, the definition of significant influence. We might decide to pull one out and accelerate it down the standards.
Whatever. So if this one doesn't make the cut, then it's got to come back to us. And I think that's a fair observation that we need to track that. So recognizing that, Plan A is the agenda decision with whatever wording we need to do to it. Who favors the agenda decision? Show of hands, please.
It's seven in the room.
Seven in the room. Martin?
Yes.
Sandy?
Yes.
Fei Long?
Yes.
That's 10. So we go with the agenda decision. Editorial changes, please, to the staff if you have them, and you'll see whatever comes out of the staff consultation with Alan.
And just a comment, Martin had raised the point about disclosure, and Alan just passed to me, IFRS 12 does have disclosure requirements about the judgments made in determining if you've got significant influence.
So it's already there.
It's already there.
Okay. All right, then. Thanks for that, Alan. Oh, agenda page.